This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, I know you've talked about Dave's ability to get his guys and rally his guys on the road. This is a tough weekend ahead of them. I know A&M has dropped their last two series, but they have played really, really good baseball at Blue Bell Park.
They have, and it is going to be a challenge this weekend. It sounds like they may end up playing two tomorrow. You just kind of alluded to that, and you know, the way it's set up on the final weekend, this is the one weekend where you can stretch it to Sunday if the weather screws up the whole weekend. But if you get rained out the first game, weather permitting, you got to play a doubleheader the next day, which is a Friday in this case. So, you know, I don't know if Dave – I know that, you know, he is his second profession is being weather forecaster. I don't know if that factored into, you know, his decision this week on what to do with the pitching or not. I don't know. It might not have had anything to do with it at all. I don't know. But as it turns out, you may end up having a day tomorrow where you play 18 innings of baseball and it's just going to be a free-for-all. You know, you may end up in a situation where you play three games inside about 27 hours. So it could turn out to be a really interesting weekend.
Yeah. When asked about the weather, here's what he had to say.
We'll just go do what they tell us to do, but we'll be smart about it. And the weather looks pretty good on Friday. It looks really good on Saturday. And the way the rule reads, the new rules, we could play on Sunday if we need to now.
But kind of like you said, it would go straight to that doubleheader. It doesn't look like there's any weather.
Yeah, you can't say, Friday, well, we're going to play a single game on Friday, and because Saturday looks better, that's when we're going to play the doubleheader. You don't have that option.
Yeah. And this is, you know, they really don't want to invoke tiebreakers, I guess, is the reasoning behind this rule in the final weekend. You'd like to go, and everybody has their 30 games, and, Chuck, everything's decided on the field. That's the reason. And you got the time before the before you get to Hoover and play it. I think if Arkansas wins the West and wins one of these three, they'll play on Wednesday once the double elimination portion of the bracket begins.
Well, I think also, too, as a conference, you've got to think about getting the maximum number of teams into the NCAA tournament. Mm. And there are going to be teams that need another win. And sometimes one more win over the right team can be the difference in being the last four in and the last or the first four out. So I think you've got to think about that from a conference perspective, too. It could be the difference between hosting a regional and having to travel. So, yes, it's nice to be able to, you know, have your tiebreaker simplified. But I also think a byproduct of that is you also have to be mindful of the fact that one win can matter an awful lot this time of year.
We talked about matchups a little earlier this week, and he's got, again, Hagan Smith tonight, even though it sounds like he'll be Hagan Smith tomorrow on his typical Friday. It'll just be earlier in the day. You're going to see Gage Wood in game two and then TBA. Is it fair for me to assume, because of the left-handed hitters, that Molina gets the start over Tigert just because of a matchup thing? I mean, he got asked, and we'll get into some of what he had to say about both those guys, but that was just kind of what popped into my head initially. It was A&M's got a lot of left bats. Like, it just makes sense from that vantage point.
Well, I think it's TBA for a reason, because you got to get through two ball games. I can't imagine that Gage Wood would pitch more than one time through the order as a starter. Three, four innings maximum. And if three gets you through the order and the hitters make adjustments and the one and two guys get on that second time through, maybe you go get someone then. My point is that if you need him, you pitch him in the doubleheader, if that's what it turns into tomorrow. If they play a single game tonight and you need him tonight, you pitch him tonight. I think that's, you know, now I'm going to be honest. I never imagined that we'd get to the final weekend of the regular season and we'd have TBA. And when Wood is your starter, you're basically saying going into the ball game that we're going to pitch four or five guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically, it's not Johnny Holstaff, but pretty close.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's different in that respect.
How much of this is an attention getter for Tigert and Molina? I know Molina's had the injury with the ankle, but how much of this is maybe rest for their arm? Maybe there's things with their arm we don't know. How much of this is just a pure and simple attention getter heading into the postseason?
Well, it's a little late to get someone's attention. But I think that's probably something that varies player by player. I mean, I think that you may have someone that has a tired arm.
Mm-hmm.
You may have someone that has a tired head. I don't know. That's a good question. And the simple answer would be, I think that, you know, head coach has to know his team. And that's the thing that I would say in all of this, is that Dave Van Orn's never given us a reason not to trust his knowledge of his team.
No.
So we're just going to have to trust that this works out. And they mm-hmm. play good baseball this weekend.
You kind of made reference, Tommy, there to a possibility of an injury. When Dave got asked about Tigert and his health, here's kind of what he said on that regard.
We've had him looked at, and as of right now, we're told everything's clean, so we might just give him some time off.
I don't know if it's fair for me to do this. Anytime I see someone, and this applies in football, basketball, and baseball, but anytime I see someone not play well, my assumption immediately goes to, well, maybe they're not fully healthy. And then I have to recalibrate my thinking when it's SEC to remind myself, is something that you always allude to, Chuck, is there's players on the other team that have scholarship too. Sometimes you just go up against a better matchup or a better opponent. I had wondered if Tigert was fully healthy this year. Kind of got an answer right there. So if it's not a health thing, maybe it is a head thing.
Yeah.
If it's a head thing, then hopefully he comes out of whatever funk he's in. I say funk, but like, he hadn't had the two best starts the last two games, but prior to that, he had 2 6-plus inning performances, too. So we know he can do it. It just hadn't been consistent this year.
Well, someone cannot have an injury and be a pitcher and still have a tired arm.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a clean bill of health. I mean, you're going to go to the trainer, and, I mean, everything's going to be fine. But pitchers have tired arms, and that may be what's going on with him. May be in his head. The truth is, I don't know. The truth is, none of us know, because we're not around it every day, and that's where you got to trust the coach.
Yeah, and I'm always too quick to equate things to golf, But you think about the motion of pitching. No. It's but follow me on this. The motion of pitching, somewhat like the mechanic of swinging. I'm just saying you've got to repeat some of those things. And we've all had days where you hit it better than others. And I think that I equate that because a lot of us in the audience played golf. Very few of us could throw a baseball anywhere close to 80 miles an hour, much less 100 miles an hour. But the point is, sometimes you go out and you hit it good and it stays in the fairway and you're making solid contact. For no reason at all, you go out the next day and you can't find your butt with both hands. That's why we're amateurs. At the end of the day, the mechanics and the motion you go through to pitch the baseball has to be very precise, like a golf swing. And when you're off the slightest little bit, you don't throw strikes.
Chuck, what Tommy just told us, he's not the Hagen Smith of the golf course.
No, I'm not claiming to be either.
What Tommy's saying. Tiger's a little bit better at what he does than the average weekend golfer is at what they do.
Okay, but look this weekend at the PGA. I'm not equating it to me. I'm just saying that the motion. Of course, I'm a tremendous slouch.
I get what you're saying. I get your analogy. And yes, everything does have to be precise. When I watch, a lot of them, not just, Tiger. And Tiger's kind of getting singled out on this. But, I mean.
It wasn't that funny, Ty.
It's.
It was a cough.
It wasn't. His joke, Chuck's joke wasn't that funny.
Yeah, really. Now, Tommy's on the other end. Yeah. That was a rib tickler.
Yeah.
When I watch him right now, I don't think he knows where it's going sometimes. And I just think he's going through a slump. I think he's going through a little funk, and some of it's fatigue and, just a lot of things. But here's the thing. I'll one up you on this golf analogy. I forget who said it. Maybe Max Homa. He said, anyone who's ever played the game at a high level knows you're one shot away from thinking you should quit. But at the same time, you're also one shot away from thinking you could win the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
So confidence has a lot to do with this. And you can take any college pitcher, any major league pitcher, you can take them out of the rotation. They're one good outing in the bullpen away from being right back where they were. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can step away from something, and if you accept it properly, you're one good swing from being back. And that's kind of where I see Tiger right now. We've seen him really good. I'm not sure what the situation is with him right now. Not sure what the situation is with Molina right now. But my guess would be, from Dave Van Horn's perspective, he's got to be thinking, I don't want to fall behind. You look at these games, they've been able to come back and win them, but, you don't want to fall behind. You don't want to be behind the eight ball right away. And I would think, more than anything, particularly starting Gage Wood. I don't think you start Gage Wood with the idea, man, he's going to give us six or seven. I think you start him with the idea that he's going to get through the first time through the order and they're not going to score.
Yeah, but
and we're going to go from there.
The reality is, and you've seen it firsthand, we've all watched it, you better have someone like a Gage Wood that can stand in a big moment in Omaha and take a start if you advance in this College World Series. Doing it with three pitchers generally doesn't work for anyone, including Arkansas. So it's also about finding out who you can trust in a big moment on a big stage. And what we got? We got A&M this weekend, number 2 in the RPI, and Arkansas number 4. That's about as big as it's going to get this weekend in college baseball. So you also go find out who you can trust on the biggest stage.
There's some truth to that. From what I hear, they're, and again, I don't know if they're going to play tonight or tomorrow, but they brought in portable bleachers. They've sold everything they can sell in terms of their pre-sale. Lawn, bleachers, standing room only. They've sold everything they can sell. And they're bringing in portable bleachers to bring into the outfield, and that's going to add another 300 or 400 from what I read. So, to your point, they're going to be right on top of you.
Yeah.
That's an imposing place. And there's no question you're going to be working with pressure.
And Dave kind of likes the setup of that challenge. He talked about that, not just the fact that they're playing for the SEC Western Division title, but the fact that A&M has been really good at
home. Well, it makes it a little more interesting, I guess. It's the two teams at the top playing each other last day. It's difficult. We're on the road playing in a really difficult place to win. If you're the visiting team, and they proved that again this year with 30-plus wins, I think. But I think it's good for our team. I made comment over a week ago to our players that having the opportunity to play Mississippi State and play Texas A&M is just good for us in the long run as far as playing great competition and tough venue. And the two teams that are probably the hottest teams in our league, at least our division at this time. And, you know, there won't be anything coming down the road probably that we haven't seen after this.
Yeah, man, that's what it's about is are you battle-tested and battle-ready? This is going to give, I think, some confidence for Dave to call someone's number or name later on down the track when it's all on the line, perhaps, Chuck.
Well, the one thing that I think you have to remember is that this is going to be the last weekend that they're going to face any sort of really hostile environment. You know, it's not going to be a hostile environment in Hoover. They're going to be a national seed. So until or unless they get to the College World Series, they're going to play Baum Walker Stadium. And if they get to Omaha, Arkansas fans are going to dominate it. You know, in terms of the fan base, it's going to feel a lot like a home game, just like it always does when the Razorbacks play there. So I think that's important. This is obviously it's a big weekend. Standings, there's a ring on the line. I mean, there's stuff to play for. And all of them, I'm sure, they want to be able to say they were a conference champion or at the very least a division champion. So all that stuff's important. But as you say, you're finding out where you're going to be down the road, but you also do it knowing that this is the last weekend where the overwhelming majority of the people in the stands are going to be yelling at you and rooting against you.
Listen, we're looking at it from a starting pitching focus this morning. I don't think the outfield is completely settled. I think there's probably still one or two places on this team trying to get it settled before you head to the postseason. And left field may be that place as well.
Might be center.
Yeah.
Matchups are part of it. Feel is part of it. If it's a game where you feel like it's going to be a low-scoring ball game, you may play a defensive outfielder. If it's a game where you feel like, man, we're going to have to score some runs, you may put a guy in there that's a little bit more offensively inclined. Again, that's the feel of the head coach, and that's what you have to trust.
Speaking of pros, John Calipari has plenty of his players that are pros in the NBA level. A few of them in action last night: PJ Washington, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Cason Wallace, of course our own Daniel Gafford, Isaiah Joe, Jalen Williams, who Dallas Mavericks ended up winning by 8 last night. Unfortunately, game 6 tomorrow night as the Mavs try and close it out against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we got a chance to catch up with Hunter Yurecek yesterday, and he kind of gave some insight on what's kind of been going on for John Calipari. And according to Hunter, it's the first time seeing him in Little Rock since saw him at the press conference.
Well, I'll tell you, first and foremost, I saw Coach Cal last night, and that's one of the two times I've seen him since his press conference, because he has been flying. He's been out first and foremost trying to put a team together. He's been putting his staff together. He's been worried about putting the schedule together for the 24-25 season. And so I think he's got a little bit of pep in his step, and it's been hitting it hard. And then obviously I think as we see across our state as we travel this week, that Arkansas, Arkansans have their chest poked out a little bit, their head held high, and really a sense of pride that a Hall of Fame coach like John Calipari would come to the state of Arkansas and coach our men's basketball program.
Chuck, we hadn't had a chance to ask you about the SEC opponents that released. You got Bam at home. You do not have Kentucky at home. Texas is coming to town, as is Oklahoma. But one of the other things Cal kind of mentioned was talking about the possibility of doing something with ESPN and CBS that apparently he's getting calls. He's trying to balance like the tough SEC slate that he knows coming, but with some marquee non-conference games too, which is I'm really intrigued to see who they scheduled this upcoming season.
Oh, I'm sure that it'll be I'm sure there will be some marquee matchups. You're talking about the conference schedule first. as Calipari said, I mean, was there any surprise that Arkansas would go to Rupp Arena? But I am surprised that they didn't schedule it twice. I am surprised at that. I do understand wanting to play Texas twice. LSU, Missouri, I don't think you have to play both of them twice. I think they should have played Kentucky twice. I think the league missed out on an opportunity there. But I understand, too, that you know they want to keep some uniformity to what they're doing, and I'm sure that you know, given 5 minutes to you know expound on it, they could tell us every reason why they did what they did. But sure would have been nice to have had them come here, too.
And I wonder, and I asked Tommy this, I wonder if that some of that stuff was already preset prior to Cal getting to campus and it was already too far down the line where they couldn't change it. I don't know that to be fact.
You're not, you know, you're not solving the Rubik's Cube. I mean, if a guy can fly at a golf tournament on 8 beers on a Saturday night, you know, a bunch of sober college professionals ought to be able to get in there and figure it out. I mean, it's not rocket science.
Listen, I'm still angry about that. I'm not going to go as far to say, it was a miscarriage of justice, the fact that they're
not
coming
to the Bud Light Arena.
Well, I'm not going to
go that far, but they missed a chance. I just think they missed a chance. That's all.
Well, that is the setup to hear that. Cal was also.
Which is harder, the Rubik's Cube or setting the conference schedule? Which would be harder?
I mean, flighting the golf tournament off 8 beers on a Saturday night. I think that's the hardest job right there.
Well, when asked about that schedule like we were talking about, here's kind of what Cal said on that balance.
And that's why I got to go through this schedule, and you can't be too top-heavy, but you do want to have a schedule that challenges you and also gets you on national television, puts you out there where people want to see it.
And it's kind of similar to what we asked Hunter about yesterday, because at some point they're going to move to 9 SEC games, and you still want a potential not marquee non-conference. And I know Arkansas basketball is a little further along the football team, but like you want to have those games where it's fun to come to Bud Walton Arena and it's fun to maybe go home and home, but you also don't want too much of a deterrent in the non-conference that you come out of non-conference beaten and battered, and by the time SEC rolls around, your record's not what you want it to be.
Well, you have to consider the business of college basketball, too. You have to consider, you know, home games and where you don't have to go back to their place and guarantees for some of these marquee games and things like that. I mean, there's the business of college basketball that has to be tended to as well during a non-conference season. But you're right. From a competitive standpoint, you certainly want to have – you want some games you can win. Let's be honest. Everybody does. And it's not like Kentucky when Cal was there. You know, they weren't playing on an aircraft carrier every non-conference ball game. I mean, they were, you know, they played some cupcakes too. But Arkansas played some big-time tournaments preseason.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Final day of the One Razorback Road Show today. Texarkana at Pop's Place for lunch, and then also Uncorked for Fort Smith for dinner. And I know Coach has been on the road this week. Coach, we appreciate you joining us this morning. What has it been like this week to be on the road, get in front of fans? You get a lot of energy from seeing fans up close and personal?
Yeah, you know, I was at the one in Jonesboro, and they were so appreciative of us coming over there. That's the first time I don't think it's the first time we had been over there, but it's the first time I had. And really neat venue, and the people were pumped up. It was great. A lot of excitement. Hell, it got me pumped up.
Well, Coach, I know you've had that on your plate this week. In addition to that, a lot of stuff's been happening in the portal. And I know that you and other SEC coaches and other coaches in college football having to deal with that. I want to start with a guy that's made some national headlines. That's Monte Harrison. We had a chance to catch up with former Arkansas offensive lineman Limbo Parks last week. He can't wait to see Monte in an Arkansas uniform. Can you tell us about him?
Well, I mean, first of all, he played Major League Baseball. He's 28 years old. I met him and his fiance. Limbo recommended him to me, and I told him I certainly didn't have a scholarship or anything, but he could be more than welcome to walk on. And it's just an interesting story. But we hope he can come in and help the football team.
Hey, Coach, this is Chuck. I wonder about the offensive line. Tell us about Coach Mateos. Tell us about how that group progressed during the course of the spring.
Yeah, Chuck, good morning. That was probably the most improved position we had this spring was the offensive line. Now, certainly has a lot to do with, the three guys we got in the portal, being able to move Kudus inside, finding, Addison Nichols was a big deal for us. Gave us, bringing the three guys in, it gave us really good depth behind those guys. So I think we're at eight or nine deep. Coach Mateos has a unique coaching style. They're a close-knit group, which we did not have a year ago, and that's nothing against anybody. It's just the facts. But I really like that we can handle the edge. I think as an O-line, you have to be able to handle the edge. You have to be good at tackle, and you have to be really good at center. And those three guys came in and really helped us there. And I've enjoyed going back and coaching individual and being in meetings and doing those things with the offensive line. Like I said, I'm the oldest GA in America and enjoying every bit of it. But it's kind of neat how the roles kind of reversed where, you know, Eric was my GA and now going and being his. But I've really enjoyed it. I think the offense, the schematics that Bobby's using, blocking scheme-wise, that Eric's using, I think it's really going to help our athleticism as an offensive line to help us be successful.
Head coach Sam Pittman with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Yesterday, Hunter Yurecek was on with us, and he was commenting on just his observations from spring practice and being around your team some, a noticeable change, or at least a change that he noted in his comments with us about the leadership amongst the team. What have you noticed, and what would you say about this year's team versus maybe your previous team when it comes to leadership in the locker room and amongst the players?
Well, we tried to really stress them in the off season with our 8-week lifting program, and I don't think you can really find out about anybody until you stress them, until times are hard, and so we really wanted to do that this spring. Taylen Green is a guy, you know, you need a leader at quarterback. He's got a very unique presence about him. When you have your bigs like Campbell and Landon Jackson and Xavier Story, and then you go back on offense with Blackstock and Junior Carmona and those guys, when you have your bigs as leaders, as guys, hey, follow me, you can have a strong football team. And I really like the way that they interact with each other on the field. They take care of each other. They knock hell out of each other. And then they go out to dinner. And, you know, it's very, very hard right now with the portal and NIL to have a really tight football team. It just is. It's very hard. We're very fortunate that we got the type kids on our team where I feel like this is as close a team as we've had since I've been here.
Coach, on the other side of the ball, I know becoming too deep, continuing to be too deep up front is part of the plan. And, I mean, we've seen Brad Spence at linebacker play. How do you feel about the front seven right now?
Well, Chuck, we went to, you know, we needed to get another big, which we did. And we went in a portal to get a transfer from BYU. From Hutch JUCO, and that was on the D line. So we needed another guy. I feel really good about his defensive end wise. I think with Charlie Collins and Kadavian Henderson, and you know, the four above him, the four older guys, I feel good about those guys at defensive end. We just needed another big inside, and we were able to get that. Linebacker-wise, I was really impressed with the freshman that came on. Sorry is really a guy that can run, a guy that transferred from Georgia. But I think where we improved ourselves in the portal, the second portal window, was at linebacker with Steven Dix and Larry Worth. Those two guys, you know, they started, played a lot of ball. And to come in here, we needed some experience there, Chuck. And we brought them in. Now, where it all shakes down at the end of camp, we'll see. But I really like the addition of those two guys at linebacker. Make them feel a lot better about our front seven.
Coach Sam Pittman with us here on the Morning Rush. Coach, I think one of the other portal aspects is not just making sure you can bring in guys, but making sure certain guys don't leave, not just for other schools, but the NFL draft. I know it's maybe the biggest news you got all offseason, Landon Jackson coming back. We saw what he did in Tuscaloosa. I mean, this guy has the capability at his frame to be an NFL defensive lineman. How much do you think he can improve as really the anchor of your defense this fall?
I think he's been very good against the run. And I think his improvement has had to be his ability to move a little bit better carrying 280 pounds. You know, I think he, in his mind, he felt like he had to lose weight to be able to move like he wanted to. And I think the spring he proved that he can carry more weight and still rush the passer. Him and Carmona had great battles for 14 practices, and of course in the spring game we went ones versus two, but for 14 practices they had some really good battles. So I think it's his quick twitch, his first couple of steps getting off the ball, he became a better pass rusher. But I think it was all in the mind a little bit of him being able to carry more weight and still do the things that he did at a lighter version of himself. And I believe that he's confident that he can carry that weight and do what he needs to do now.
Coach, we saw Cam Little drafted as the first Razorback off the board a couple of weeks ago. Give us some insight to the changes that will be coming with the special teams and trying to replace a great kicker there. We've seen a lot of games come down in the very end to special teams. How do you feel about where you're at in that department moving forward into the fall camp?
Well, I really like Devin Bell. I mean, Devin Bell is an outstanding punter at the spring game. I think he went 56 and 59 in his two punts, something like that. And one of them was in a pretty good wind that I think he kicked 56 or punted a 56-yard punt. I like our snappers. Stein's done it for a long time. Noah is probably going to battle there. Probably may win that punt snapping because he's so athletic. He covers better. We need to get better there in the coverage. And then we're just going to have a battle for, you know, Devin Bell actually won the kickoff job too, which is kind of unique with him being the punter and then kicking off. But, you know, between Vito and Shipley, and then we went in the portal and got another kicker that we haven't signed, but we got another guy that we really, really like that's going to – we need to battle there at the kicking spot because we've been so good, and we need to make sure that we have someone that can win games for us there at the end.
Coach, as we start to wind this down, what's the calendar like now for your team, for you? What are the next steps along the way as you move into the offseason? What for us is the offseason, but I know for them is a busy time too.
Yeah. Well, for me personally, it's all about raising money over the next, well, forever, but mostly the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's all going out and raising money. Obviously, if you don't have it, you just can't compete in recruiting. You can. You have a $30,000 guy and somebody offers him $200,000. That's in business. That's in anything. You're not going to get him. So we have to continue to go out and raise money. That's number one. Our team reports the new guys on May 24th. And the old guys on the Monday after that. We'll have a team meeting. Then they'll go 5 weeks, and that will be through the summer program, weightlifting, conditioning, walkthroughs, meetings. And then they'll have a discretionary week over July 4th week, and then they'll come back 3 hard weeks after that again, which will finish up the 8-week summer program. And then we'll report, and we'll still be in school. We'll have probably 2 or 3 practices while we're still in school. We'll work around the guys' schedule, and then certainly have the 25 practices there before we play Arkansas Pine Bluff. So it's our coaches will get a little time off, Chuck. They need it. You know, a lot of stress in the job, a lot of hours, and so we'll give them off a little bit of time in July.
Coach, you mentioned money. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you. How much do you have on Mystic Dan at Churchill Downs?
Well, you can ask any question you want. That don't mean I got to answer, you know.
Not enough. That's the answer, Coach. Not enough.
I'm going to tell you what I did. I had 100 across on it is what I had, and it paid $37.22. And I'm just like you. I go, well, hell, I knew it. 18-1 was going to win. You know, I'm going, why didn't I? You know, but no, I'm going to tell you. It was the greatest. It was a great experience going down there with wonderful people, and I had 100 crossed on it.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Let's talk to Eddie in Clarksville. Ooh. Eddie hadn't called a show in a while. Eddie, did Coach Pittman interview get your fired up this morning, man?
Well, you're exactly right. It's got me fired up because you know what? I believe the Hawk Train's going to have a good year this year in football. So, more than people expected. You know, with Bobby Petrino, I tell you what, and Coach Pittman working together, why not, you know, go 7 or 8 wins this year? That would be a tremendous year for the football Hawk Train and year one working together. But more importantly, I woke up this morning. Gentlemen, do you smell what's baking in the oven at Bluebell Park? Because tonight, two heavyweights in the West, I mean, two top five matchups are going head-to-head. Does it get any better for college baseball? Let me say this. Just look at the last three national championships have come out of the SEC West. And I'm hoping this year, number four, and I'm betting on a, it's not the Kentucky Derby. I'm betting on the Hawk Train this year. We're fixing to find out. I say pitching, the gate's hitting. And we're fixing to put that to the test tonight. Because Mr. Hagan Smith, blow the bubbles out. Because you got in that armor years, you can strike out that lineup. Suck them out and feed them a big bowl of hot pitching mojo. And you know, there's a recipe, I've said it before, for everything in life, gentlemen. There's a recipe for winning, there's a recipe for losing, recipe for homemade apple pie, and there is a recipe for hot baseball tonight. And it's that, crack that oven up and feed the Aggies a big bowl of it. And if you do that, we're going to win an SEC outright champion, Western Division championship. And not only that, how about this? You'll anchor down without a doubt a top three national city. And tonight, feed them. I cranked up. Fly Georgia Line. This is a hump. The Hawk Train knows, baby. And tonight, it's going to be on display. Boys, feed them the recipe.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you,
Eddie's going to have a long day, man, especially if they can't play tonight. What if it gets rained out tonight? Mm. What's Eddie going to do between now and tomorrow afternoon?
Can you put Hog Delight in the fridge? Will it keep overnight, or does he have to do a whole new batch tomorrow? I'm not certain how well it keeps overnight.
I'm just happy he called this program. I hear him on halftime all the time. I was wondering if he, his wife has been neglecting us lately.
It's you.
Yeah,
it's you.
Probably. I did see, he's talking about betting on Arkansas baseball. I think if I saw the odds correct, they were plus like 650 to win the College World Series right now. So if you want to try and invest some money on Arkansas, you got plus 700, excuse me. So if you want to invest some money on Arkansas, like apparently Sam Pittman. I'm glad Sam told us that he won money on Mystic Dan. I didn't know if he was going to reveal that. But
you wouldn't
I'm
go down there with their owners and then not bet on that horse. I mean, that'd be rude.
I didn't know if he was going to actually share that or not. All right, let's talk to Brent, who's in Searcy on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. What's up, Brent?
Oh, not much, Ty, Chuck, and Tommy. What's going on with y'all? I don't know if I can. I can't match that call of Eddie's. I mean,
no.
Eddie's just, if it's rained out tonight, we're just going to have to tie. We're just going to have to send him to the state hospital to get re-revved up. You know what I'm talking about? What is the rain chances for tonight? Do y'all know?
Like 90%.
But it's supposed to be, I mean, if you look at the hourly forecast, which I have done, it looks like the heaviest of the activity is going to be late in the afternoon. I'm not ruling out the fact that they wouldn't play tonight with a delay. I think the key is going to be if they delay the start, say, till 8 o'clock, can they get the game in? You know, if they feel like, hey, if we delay this thing an hour, we can get the game in, well, then, yeah, you wait and then you play. If you don't feel like you're going to be able to get it in at that point, or if the field's taking on so much rain that, you know, it's just not going to be conducive to a ball game, you know, then you bang it and you play two tomorrow.
Well, you know the field will take on too much water because it was designed by Aggie.
Yeah,
so it'll take on too much water. I'm excited about this series. I truly am, because I want Coach Dick Van Horn to get his
beat
the great Jim Schlossnagel. Just ask Mike Rooney. Ask Kyle Peterson. They absolutely go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs when they talk about Jim Schlossnagel. And I have no respect for him because he says there's people cheating on batting and you don't say that out loud. You don't. You keep that in house. I have no respect. Of course, I don't respect Aggies anyway. So you know what I'm.
Oh, Brett, appreciate it. I want to know who that was about. Like, we've made all these assumptions and conclusions. I've heard four or five different, well, he was talking about this team or he was talking about this coach. No one knows. Schlossnagel hadn't come out and said who he was talking about. And I want to know who it was.
For those who don't know, he basically said somebody in the league electronically is, you know, looking at pitches, stealing signs. They've got it in the dugout. They've been caught. They've just not been embarrassed by the league yet. That's what he alleged.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say who.
Well,
and
he's an Aggie. He may be telling on himself. So
well, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? You're right.
Yeah.
Well, it is a big series again in Bluebell Park this weekend. Dave Van Horn was talking about one of the intriguing parts that I took away from his press conference was not just the series itself and the challenge tonight, but this is a guy that really pushed hard for the divisions in baseball. Unfortunately, not going moving forward.
I made it well known that I don't like it. I don't like top to bottom 1 through 16 baseball's divisions. Look at the big leagues, and it seems like that we always kind of follow their trend a little bit for the most part. Like, I'm surprised we still can shift past the base. I think that's probably coming down the road too, you know, defensively. But I think there should be divisions. I think it keeps everybody engaged. I think, you know, if you got maybe four divisions or at minimum two, you got teams that are going to fight to the end. You know, I think next year you got a team that's in second place trying to come in first and they're fighting to, you know, to get through the weekend, and maybe somebody that's right on their tail or just ahead of them is playing a team that's in 15th place.
I got to be honest, I didn't think about that approach until he said it. But like, if you're way down the list at 15 or 16, it's not as big of a deal. Maybe if you're closer to winning a division, you gun for it a little bit more.
Well, I think they're making a mistake. I think they're failing to acknowledge the differences in the sport at both the collegiate and the professional level. Are you kidding me? You're going to have a series like the next to the last weekend. Huh? We got the 11th place team against the 8th place team this weekend. There need to be divisions. I wouldn't even be against four-team divisions in baseball. I wouldn't even be against that. I think it, as Dave said, I think the key line in what he said there was keeps everybody engaged. I think you're going to hit some weekends where there are going to be a lot of kids that aren't engaged. And I don't blame them.
Yeah, I just like the fact that, you know, you can drive to Oxford. You know you're going to play in Baton Rouge every other year. Now with Norman and Austin coming online as opponents, you know, those are ones I want to make sure you play on a regular basis, not on some kind of rotation that's maybe every third year.
Well, if this was such a great idea, they'd have 16 teams in the National League and 16 teams in the American League, and they wouldn't even fiddle with divisions. If it was such a great idea. But it's not a great idea. You're equating. See, I think they're making a mistake not having divisions in basketball. I think you're equating a football mentality, or you're imposing a football mentality on other sports. And maybe it's good for football. I don't know. Maybe it's good for basketball, but I think it's bad for baseball.
I'm still of the belief that it's worse for football. If I had to rank them, I would say it goes football, baseball, basketball. I mean, we've had basketball without divisions since what, last at least decade or so. I mean, that's been gone away for some time. But football's had divisions since '92. Baseball's had divisions, I would guess, at the same time or before that. Either way, I'm with Dave Van Horn on this 100%. I'm irritated by that, just as he is. He definitely had some spirited opinions about that.
Well, they had, I don't know how his voice was by comparison to some of the others. I don't know. Evidently, they decided not to oppose it or voted for it, one of the two. I'm not sure.
Yeah, what he kind of alluded to is like the two guys, and I don't know the Texas coach or the Oklahoma coach off the top of my head, but they were kind of middle groundish. They didn't want to be too boisterous and too outgoing coming into the league. That's kind of what I took away, is they were just kind of like leaning in, like, hey, we'll just kind of go with the flow on this and not try to make a scene entering the league. At least that's what I took away from his comments.
I mean, I don't know. I think this is what the league wanted. I think this is what the league office wanted, regardless of whether there's, regardless of what anybody thought. I think this is what the league wanted.
Listen, a lot of times I don't want college to be the similar as professional sports. There are multiple instances when I want college to stay the way it is. But in this case, I'm with you, Chuck. They would be better off with divisions or even 4-4 team divisions. That's not how it's going to happen, though, Tommy.
No.
Dave talked about the shift in that conversation, mm-hmm. too,
yeah,
which I think is interesting. I don't know why it's still in college and not the big leagues.
There's always a natural instinct to kind of follow the pro league in your sport, and I think you make some good points there.
There was a question if Dave Van Horn was going to change up his starting pitching rotation. He announced yesterday he's going with the new pitching rotation.
Yeah, Smith will go first. Gage Wood will go second. We'll leave third game TBA.
Are Tigert and Molina both still kind of options for that TBA option, or do you see them coming out of the bullpen, or how do you envision that playing out?
Could be an option there, yeah, definitely.
That was Hutch with the follow-up. Now, again, things are subject to change. We'll see what happens in Gage Wood game two. Tommy, I think I told you before the show, I tend to think, based on kind of who A&M has, that Molina is probably going to get the lean on Saturday, if push comes to shove with that TBA spot.
I just wonder, and he's not going to completely reveal what's going on behind the curtain, but is there sore arms? Is there tired arms? Is it just general fatigue that kind of led to the slump? If those two guys aren't options past Wood, where would you go? McIntyre? Bybee? I mean, those would have to be, some of your next thoughts as far as who would get the start in game three, but we'll see how it plays out. And if you win the first game and you clinch the West with Hagen Smith on the mound, then you wonder what the sense of urgency. I know they're competitors and they want to win every game. I get that, but it's also a chance to see who can earn some trust heading into the postseason as well.
Yeah, and that gets going, or at least you hope it gets going tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN2 and right here across most of our ESPN Arkansas radio stations, and hitthatline.com. Now, we heard Hunter Yurcheck talk about John Calipari, and apparently Cal did his first official public hall call last night in El Dorado, Arkansas. We had a chance to hear from him earlier this week in Little Rock, and he can't touch on players that he's recruiting right now because it's against NCAA code or whatever, but he can tell you about who he's got signed with Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, the game has changed in that you got 25 and 26-year-olds playing. So where I would have a roster full of freshmen, you can have a freshman, but you just can't have a roster full. So having Nelly and Jonas be the first two was really big for us. Having Adu, having Z, hopefully one more that has done this, Billy and Carter, Boogie. I mean, Boogie was one of the best point guards, if not the best in the country, won the state twice. Carter, I coached his brother, Kevin. Adu, I coached his dad. Billy Richmond, I coached his dad. I guess I would say, because I was tougher back then, the ultimate compliment is they want their son to play for me. And believe me when I tell you, it was a little, we grabbed people back then. You don't do that anymore.
And Chuck Kramer-Varam, DJ Wagner's dad also played for Cal, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that's correct, too. Yeah. So you could potentially get the brother connection. You got a dude's dad. And I think that'd be cool to have several sibling connections. You already got some, and you can add a few more to this roster.
Well, Wagner's, his granddad, Milt Wagner, who's one of my contemporaries, played with Kent.
Is he back?
Say that again, Chuck. We lost you for just a second.
I think he's out, Tommy. We'll get him back in just a sec, but we'll let him retell that story when he comes back. But yeah, that was Cal. Just I haven't heard. So I've heard him talk about what he wants to do, but that's the first time. And we haven't heard a lot from him publicly, Tommy, but that's the first time we've kind of heard him dive in on his roster a little bit. Chuck, you were in the middle of a story there. You can come back to it real quick.
Well, I don't know exactly where I lost you, to be perfectly honest.
Somebody was playing with someone,
Bill Wagner was who I was talking about.
We didn't even get that far.
DJ Wagner's grandfather was Mill Wagner, who played for Louisville. He was teammate there with Kenny Payne. Played against the Razorbacks way back when.
Oh, okay.
So there's lots of connections there with him.
Do you see Tyson with Payne and Cal in front row in Dallas the other night?
I did.
That was pretty cool. He had three Kentucky guys and three Arkansas guys that were out on the floor in various occasions. And Oklahoma City won that one. Did not win last night. Isaiah Joe gets his first ever playoff start. Josh Giddey has not played well, so that Oklahoma City went with Isaiah. He knocked down an early three. Played some good defense on Kyrie, I thought, last night. Hit another three in the game. And Jalen Williams hit one. They added a couple rebounds. But Oklahoma City loses by eight. I'm going to be honest. I know Big C's the big Dallas Mavericks fan. I do not feel confident tomorrow night at all. I know they won game four in Dallas. But I have a bad feeling that we're going to see the Mavs advance against the Nuggets.
Well, if you've got a bad feeling, Ty, I'm putting all my money on Oklahoma City. Because two games into this series, you said start the bus. You said it was over.
It's true.
And, I'll be honest with you. I thought it was, too. They're on the brink right now. They are on the brink. Oklahoma City is. And they it's different in the playoffs, man. I mean, it's a whole different deal when you get to the playoffs. I hope they can pull it out. But I also am pulling for Daniel Gafford, too. So, you know, there's lots of guys involved in this. And they're all going to be okay regardless of what happens.
Yeah. Daniel's a dog, man. I mean, he is just playing at an unreal pace. And even Cal was mentioning, it's like Dallas isn't where they are without Daniel Gafford the other night. I mean, it seems like every single loose ball rebound or like any time that Luka or Kyrie get a pick from him, I mean, he's just rim running and just tearing that OKC defense up.
We are seeing in more than one of these series that even in professional basketball, the value of rebounding, the value of offensive rebounding, the value of protecting the glass, I mean, all that stuff comes into play and in every series. And it's this way in the playoffs because it's physical. You better be ready to play inside with a great degree of physicality. I'll just put it like that, because they're going to let you do it. And it's toughest guy wins.
Real quick, before we go, men's golf has been eliminated from the Austin Regional. They finished 10th yesterday. And staying with golf, I saw Shauna Taylor has been named to the D1 Women's Coach of the Year. I know Hunter was talking with us yesterday about him going
nominee
out there.
List. Is it a finalist list? Did she win it?
No, she's just the list. The award's going to be announced after the NCAA championship this weekend.
Okay.
So it's just a list. She's not won it yet. It's just a list. But even to be in the consideration for that, I think is pretty
cool. They've got a really good women's golf team. Mm-hmm. And they dominated their regional out there in Las Vegas. And they're going to be in the hunt.
Yeah.
They the men's golf team, I think, was 8th last ranking.
Yep.
And I think the women's was also top 15, top 10. So both golf teams have had success. Guys, I think it helps. Tommy, I can't remember if you play, but I know some buddies that have played. I think it helps when you play on a course like the Plessings. Each practice is how difficult it is each time you play, that it kind of prepares you for the unknown when you go to these regionals and different events and stuff like that.
It's a tough test, but Arkansas's got really, really good practice facilities there at the Plessings. They're able to work year-round, so you know, they've made the investment to have really good men's and women's golf teams there. That's for sure.
All right, that
well,
is your
recruit hug. Internationally. Okay. You have to recruit internationally too. That's the thing you have to remember about golf.
Yep, and that is your Hog Update, brought to you by our friends at Mr. Spark.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8 Sparky.
So I mentioned the OKC series. Boston also moved on last night with a 113-98 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. We got a game in action tonight. Again, Minnesota Timberwolves trying to stave off elimination against the Denver Nuggets. And then tomorrow, we'll see the New York Knicks against the Pacers. That's been a great series. I mean, back and forth, the home teams have had the advantage of that one, kind of the opposite in the Minnesota Timberwolves series. Chuck, I think the Knicks have a decent shot at closing it out, but I'd still side that game's probably going to go to Game 7.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
What did you make of Dave's comments yesterday and shaking things up a little bit?
Good morning, guys. Well, I mean, they had already done the prelude to this, which was Gage Woods about to take somebody's job the week before, and they just didn't pull the trigger on it. And I personally thought it would have been better to try it last weekend, but here they are. And it's in a difficult venue. A&M at home is, what, 31-2? So basically the same type of record as Arkansas has at home. Very hard to beat there. But all Arkansas has to do is win one, and the division is theirs. And they'll go into tonight's game with a starter. I mean, they haven't lost a game in Hagan Smith starts this year. So I think it's a good idea to do it before you reach the postseason. That way you'll know how he handles the prep work, how he handles, you know, you have to have a bigger repertoire of pitches. You have to kind of save yourself a little bit too, you know, if you're Gage Woods. So it's going to be good to see him in that role, and then Molina very likely to be in reserve, you know, a relief role. And who knows what will happen with Brady Tigard. I mean, Dave Van Horn hinted that they might give him this weekend off to rest him up. It's all about maximizing what your roster is going to look like for the postseason. And I don't even mean Hoover on that one. So, you know, I think it's good that they're getting it done before the regular season's over.
Tommy, you mentioned just rest. Like, it might not be an injury just to give his arm a break. How do you balance, if you're a head coach, how do you balance, like, getting someone rested up but not throwing them out of typical baseball rhythm right before the postseason?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, I want to say Tigard came back – from his rest last year in better form. And we've seen it happen with a few other pitchers. So, you know, if that's what they feel like is best and necessary for him to be sharper, then it's probably a good idea. And I think from Arkansas' standpoint, if you can just win tonight's game, if they play it, weather allowing, if they can win that one, then they've got the division. And, yeah, you're going to be competitive and you want to win the next two, but it's not as necessary that, you know, if the division was on the line, maybe they want Tiger to try to throw. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. They've got a deep pitching staff, and they've shown that throughout the course of this year. Different guys have risen up and probably going to be tested this weekend.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Tom, look at the most recent NCAA RPI rankings. The Southeastern Conference has six of the top 11. They have, 11 in the top 25. Who is this weekend biggest for? Those teams that are like in Vanderbilt's position or Florida or maybe even an LSU to try to get in the tournament? Or is it one of these teams that are maybe on the bubble like a Mississippi State or a South Carolina that's maybe trying to play their way into hosting a regional?
That's a good question. It's big for all of those teams, but particularly the ones you just mentioned. I've seen the debates about, does Vanderbilt get in over Florida or LSU or just some combination? It's gonna be hard, I think, for all three of those to make it, even though the RPIs are good. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it goes. But you don't want to be sitting there at 12 and 18 in the SEC because that means you will not have had a great weekend. If you're those three teams, 13 and 17, a little bit better shape. But maybe this is an outlier type year where an SEC team with a good RPI with that kind of conference record does get in because it's such a difficult, just a really hard conference. I mean, but also, you know, Mississippi State, if they can win the series at home or possibly even sweep Missouri, could they host? And they put up a heck of a fight here in Fayetteville last weekend, and they look like a team that's good enough to host a regional.
Is Ole Miss rising to 24 after their weekend with A&M enough, considering their conference record and where they're at in the West? Or is Ole Miss a team you've got in, or would you have them out right now?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't know the answer. I mean, a committee will say, oh, we don't put a cap on the number of teams from any conference, whatever, but Ole Miss, it's stunning to think that they're 24 because, you know, Arkansas swept them. They haven't had great series, but for them, winning against A&M was a big deal, and they need to have a great weekend, I would say, this weekend, and I'm not sure who they're playing. Maybe Bama or somebody, but they would need to have a good weekend, I would think, to be in consideration.
I think I could be wrong. I thought they closed out.
I think they're playing LSU.
Is LSU?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got two teams that are kind of on the brink then if that's who the matchup is. We're talking with Tom Murphy here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Tom, A&M has got a lot of power. They've hit over 100 home runs. They hit over 308. I mean, this is not a team to be trifled with. I know they've lost their last two, but Dave just kind of spoke to not just their ballpark and what they've been at home, but just how much of an issue it's going to be with the bats. Does Arkansas change anything when you go up against a team like this, or is it just business as usual what you've been doing?
Well, I think it, you know, knowing the Dave Van Horn plan over these years, it's you do what you do. You look at the scouting reports, you attack them the way you know your scouting tells you to attack them, and you know, look for good results. They are a great hitting team. They've done really well at home. But you got to say thanks to LSU and Ole Miss these last two weekends, because if they had stayed on the kind of the tear they had been on, then we'd have a much closer race at the top of the West, and A&M possibly would be in the lead. When I saw the upcoming weeks for them, LSU and Ole Miss, I felt like they'd win four of those six. Instead, they won two of the six, which kind of shows you that LSU and Ole Miss are really still in it and battling to get to the end. And Braden Montgomery, Dave Van Horn mentioned yesterday, they really wanted to get him. They recruited him out of high school, Madison, Mississippi, wanted to get him again when he was in the portal, and he wound up at A&M. Just a fantastic power hitter in the, you know, the 2, 3, 4 spots in their lineup. Laviolette has emerged as one of the better outfielders in the country. A lot of home runs on this team. And then the freshman, I think it's pronounced Grahovic, or something like that, has been a phenomenal addition as well. And then they've got guys like Targek and some other guys that have been around there for a long time, but now they're in more, you know, auxiliary type roles, you know, backup. Well, not backups, but just, you know, they're not as prominent names. But a very, very veteran team. Schlossnagel's built a pretty good monster down there.
Does Hagen Smith get it tonight, Tom? Does he go for 11 strikeouts and break Nick Schmidt's all-time record?
Well, I mean, his average tells you that he will get there. Now, is A&M a big strikeout team? I haven't researched that. But when you're as aggressive as they are and hit as many home runs, they're probably going to be for your swingers. So we shall see. I would put money on that he gets the strikeout record today. And whether Arkansas stays clean on weekend opening games is another matter. It's amazing, you know, they've come back from some deficits to win some Friday games. Hagen Smith's last start wasn't his cleanest, and then the Kentucky game, but they won both of those. So we'll see. And on another tangent here, Dave Van Horn was asked about divisions. They're going away next year, and I really don't like it's going to be a one division conference. It's just, I don't like it. I wish they weren't doing it for football either, but here we are. It just, whatever the trend is now, and it's like Houston Nutt. I talked to him about conferences going away in football. Not a fan of it, man. There's something to be said for even winning division titles in a conference as powerful as the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, just think about Arkansas football there with Houston. I mean, 98, 02, and 06, we celebrate the SEC. This team, this football team's never won an SEC title. But they won the West three times, and that's a difficult task, Tom. We celebrate that all these years later.
Exactly, and it's just going away. I mean, if you finish, let's say you're third or fourth in the SEC football next year, well, given a division separation, you might have been challenging to win the division. I don't like it. I don't know what there is to reverse the trend, but, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to bang your head against the wall? I mean, I don't like the current state of the NIL or a lot of other things that are happening in college football, but it just is what it is.
Yeah. And we had Sam Pippen on in the last hour, and the one Razorback Roadshow is going on. He was in Jonesboro a couple days ago. Hunter Yurecek's there. I found it interesting that he made the comments first time he had been there. But you stop and think, there's not a lot of times that the AD and a sitting head football coach go to Jonesboro. So, I mean, I find kind of their tour this week and some of the locations they picked. When they talk about trying to engage the entire state, I think they're following it up with where they're going.
Well, yeah, they really did. And, of course, you know, we got the football game coming up next year in Little Rock, too. So it's a different world than it was, you know, when the Frank Broyles mandate or guideline that you don't play in-state schools has gone away. And I guess Arkansas flexing a little bit, showing up in Jonesboro.
Yeah.
And but now, that you know, now to me, one of the final pieces – for Arkansas, you know, the overall athletic program is very, very competitive in all these sports. It's to get football back on that competitive plane. And how do you get there? I mean, that to me, that's the million-dollar question for Hunter Yurecek. And obviously NIL and fundraising to that goal is a big part of getting football back up to where, you know, old-time Arkansas fans are used to them competing in the Southwest Conference every year at the top with Texas. In recent years in the SEC, that has gone away.
Yeah, and Coach mentioned that you know, Chuck asked him about his calendar and the plans moving forward, and went through those in great detail, but made mention that, hey, I've got to spend my summer fundraising, and that job never ends. And for whoever it is, whether it's Jerry Jones or they find someone else, they've got to find the equivalent of what we at least perceive John Tyson to be for the basketball program. Someone's got to be that for the football program, and kind of spearhead the financial needs for football.
Yeah, I mean, and as maybe crass as it sounds to say it, I mean, you got to spend to compete. And I know Arkansas, to the state of Arkansas, it's a proud state, but the idea of just you know, having to open your wallet like that, in addition to buying, you know, being a contributor, alumni member or whatever, and buying tickets, now this, it's just a different world. And I think the Arkansas fans have to realize, to compete, that's going to have to take place. And you're right. Someone has to come forward.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.